Our reading this morning is taken from Hebrews 11, from 8 to 19, as entitled By Faith. That's Hebrews 11, 8 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundation, whose architect and builder is God. By faith Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And as they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth, people who saw such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac from death. Amen.
Good morning. Just testing the microphone, is that working? Can you hear as much as you want to? Or even more? We're having a second look at Father Abraham today, and this is our sequel. And Abraham has very kindly consented to come along again this week, and this time I shan't need to deprive Derek of his chair to sit on. This time Abraham is an older man. For those who weren't here last time, this is Abraham. He with the backpack, the traveller, and his hat for the cold evenings and nights, probably all going to fall off, and his scarf to wrap around him, which reminds us of our school days or college days, Fitzwilliam College. So there's Abraham. But as I was talking with Matthew at the beginning of the service, no longer do we complain. You just can't get the staff. This time Abraham is complete with his staff. This is the reminder that as he got older, and he did, he probably used a staff to help him with his travels. Maybe some of you already use a staff to help you with your travels. I depend on my staff at work, of course, to get a lot of things done. So there's Abraham. This is the one of several visual aids. Last time I was talking about how God progressively gave opportunities to Abraham. This time I want to focus a little bit on the progress of Abraham's response to God.
And I saw three things in our passage today and in the Genesis story of Abraham in more detail. He trusted, he spoke, and he gave. So Abraham trusted with his heart, he spoke with his lips or his mouth, and he gave with his hand. At least those are the three parts of the body that I've chosen to represent.
Now, to cover the whole range, if you feel you have a big heart or a small heart, we've got both options here. So I will expose other people in the front row. Abraham trusted with his heart. This says, I have Jesus in my heart. So if you want to meditate on that as I'm talking, then that's fine too.
Abraham's heart. In our passage today in Hebrews chapter 11, three times the faith of Abraham was mentioned. Verse 9, it says, no, in fact, verse 7, it says, by faith. Third time lucky, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out. Hey, three attempts, that's good, isn't it? Three attempts for 3 points. Number one, he obeyed when God told him to go out to a place that he didn't know about. And then the second time, verse 9, by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. And then the end of the passage, verse 17, by faith when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. And remember that verse in Genesis 15 which said, Abraham believed in what God was saying, and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. And that Hebrew word means he stayed himself upon the Lord. In other words, he decided that he was going to rest his whole energy and dependence upon what God had said. He stayed himself upon the Lord. More than just agreeing in his head, but actually he committed himself to depend. And that's an especially important verse in the Bible, because if you look at Romans chapter 4 verse 24, there's a commentary on that particular verse. It says, talking about Abraham, end of Romans chapter 4, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith. So his faith grew as he determined to reckon on the truth of what God said, and being fully assured that what he had promised he was able also to perform. Therefore also it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and not for his sake only was it written that it is reckoned to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. For he was delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the starting point of our Christian life, putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who has brought us back to God and has done it entirely of his own grace. So those words were written for our sake, that Abraham believed God and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. So faith is the foundation. He trusted with his heart and he saw beyond the physical, because in our passage it said he considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, and he received his son Isaac back as a type, as a forerunner of the sacrifice of God's own son. One other thing that we noticed also, or that I noticed in the passage, three times Abraham lifted up his eyes. Can you think of what were the three times when Abraham lifted up his eyes? Well, not really trying to test you. Faith is something about lifting up our eyes. Instead of looking down, looking up to see God, to see what God is doing, what God is planning, what God has in the future for us. Number one, he lifted up his eyes and beheld the land. That comes in chapter 13 of Genesis. Second, he lifted up his eyes and beheld three men. One of them was the Lord, and the other two were angels of the Lord. And thirdly, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the ram caught in the brambles that was the substitute that God had provided for his sacrifice. So, there's a thought. Lift up our eyes. Interestingly, when Jesus prayed, it's recorded more than once, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. There's something positive about lifting up physically our head. There is a well-known story of a psychologist treating a patient for depression. He told him to go for a walk and count the number of chimneys that he passed. Simple as that. When he came back, he wasn't depressed any longer. Why was that? Because he was looking up at the chimneys. Now, if that can be true at a simple physical, psychological level, how much more true spiritually? Look up to see what God is offering and who he is sending to us. You never know who might be knocking on our door that God has sent. So he trusted. And the final thing I want to say about him trusting, remember towards the end of his life, when he was looking for a wife for his son Isaac, he called a servant and he said, God will send an angel before you. Because the servant was asking, how will I know? How will I be led? Abraham said, God will send an angel before you. I see some interesting things in that. Number one, the faith of Abraham had spread to the point where he could encourage other people. It had infected his own servants and household so that they themselves were able to have a relationship with God. But also, Abraham was sure an angel would lead him, but is anything said about the angel in the rest of the story? No, the angel was not seen. Nevertheless, the angel was active on the behalf of the servant of Abraham. And God sends angels unseen and unheard to help us, to minister to us. And we can count on him to do that when we need. So there's Abraham's faith. The foundation was believing what God said and accepting what God said about him. The example of trust was when Abraham was willing to obey God even at the sacrifice of his own son. And the spread of faith to his own household and people who were under his influence. That's why Abraham is called the father of us all in Romans 4 verse 16. And what I like, as I said last time, he was a father who made loads of mistakes. Every time he did something wrong as well as right, and God kept on using him. And he kept on walking with his staff, leaning on it more and more, maybe, but moving forward. So that's the heart of Abraham, the heart of trust in God, which is an encouragement to us. Secondly, I noticed some words of Abraham. And I noticed three words that I picked out. It was very difficult to find a visual aid for words or lips or mouth or teeth. Very difficult. But the Spirit of the Lord sometimes works in creative ways and makes people think that they've created something. This is wisdom toothpaste. Now, did Abraham use wisdom toothpaste? My point here, if we need wisdom on our teeth, we can ask God for wisdom for our tongue as well, and our whole mouth and our lips.
So there's a reminder to ask God for wisdom when we open our mouth. So we'll put the wisdom toothpaste next to the heart of Abraham. Oh, by the way, there is a story in the New Testament about the heart of Abraham that Jesus told. It's called the bosom of Abraham. The story of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham. We're not quite sure what this means. Maybe the picture is of a feast where you lean on the person next to you. And he was in the feast of the kingdom of heaven, leaning on Abraham, perhaps. But there's an interesting thought there. For those who get tired of what I'm saying, you can think about what that earth that means, the bosom of Abraham. Jesus tells the story.
Abraham's lips, I see three things he said. In chapter 14, verse 22, he swore to the Lord Most High to refuse any goods from the king of Sodom. Remember, he had rescued Lot, and the king of Sodom had also been rescued. And king of Sodom said to Abraham, have whatever goods you want. And Abraham said, no, I've sworn to God that I won't receive any of your goods. So Abraham had already done some business with God. He was not going to accept inappropriate favours or goods that belonged to someone else. And this is a very personal thing, but he had made a covenant between himself and God about where he would get his riches and treasures from. But interestingly, he did specify that he would accept a reward for the young men who had fought with him. And he did accept that, but not for himself. Because he said, I'm trusting entirely in God to supply me. Now, that doesn't mean we should refuse to earn money or refuse to accept gifts. But it means that we need to consider carefully where we choose to get our income from. His lips. But I saw that was a commitment, words of commitment he'd made to the Lord, which expressed his values and what he honoured. Secondly, I see words of negotiation or wrestling. Remember when he interceded with God about Sodom and Gomorrah. Interesting, there's two occasions there where Abraham rescues Lot. Delivered him from capture by his sword when he rescued him from having been kidnapped. And he delivered Lot from God's judgment by his supplications. Because when Sodom was judged, God made sure that some angels rescued Lot. And we may be sure that Abraham was concerned about Lot's fate while he was in Sodom. So there's an example of someone who rescues someone by his sword and then rescues someone by his prayers. There's a prefigure of the Lord Jesus, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and Jesus is the Word of God. His Word is like a sword for us. And secondly, even now he is interceding, making supplication on our behalf before the Father. And in fact, he prayed for those who crucified him. So the Word of God and the prayers of Jesus, two enormous sustaining resources we have, exemplified in the life of Abraham. Wonderful stuff. Don't know if you've ever come across A.W. Pink, who's written some books. Gleanings from Genesis, gleanings from all sorts of books of the Bible. He spent his whole life, I think he may have been a minister for only a short time, if at all. He spent most of his time as a writer, writing for magazines, and it was collected into books, showing the consistency of Scripture and the treasures within Scripture. And I've been feasting on some of what he's been saying in the last week, which is a privilege that comes to preachers who are forced to look at a passage and see what they can bring out of it. So that was words of bartering, intercession, wrestling with God. And sometimes God is calling us to wrestle with him, enter into dispute with God, contend with God. If we're concerned about something that's not right, he does invite that. And then the third words of Abraham I noted. In chapter 20 of Genesis, he prayed to God who healed the wounds of Abimelech's household. I might have mentioned this last time. A consequence of Abraham's sin in pretending that his wife was not his wife was that she was taken into the harem of the king, and that resulted in judgment on the king. And God ordained that Abraham would pray for the king and heal the wounds of the ladies in his family. And as I pointed out last time, that affirmation that Abraham was a prophet from the words of God himself came at a time when Abraham was in a state of shame and disgrace, having been exposed as a liar and a man of fear. But God said, ask him to pray for you because he is a prophet. And God uses us, picks us up even when we've fallen and not lived up to our calling. So Abraham's words, the wisdom on his lips, wisdom in his mouth. He made a vow to God. He was willing to wrestle with God, and he was willing to intercede on behalf of others. Thirdly, the hand of Abraham, he gave. I see Abraham as a generous man. Very, very difficult for me to find hands that are giving. So I've got a cheat. This I bought in Romania. Its hands that are pointed upwards, of course, for praying. But if we turn it sideways, imagine it's a hand that is offering something or giving something. Hey, let's use our imagination. Why not? Abraham's hand. Because I see Abraham as a generous man. Remember three instances. First of all, he gave Lot the choice. When the two of them couldn't live together any longer because they had so many cattle, and so many herdsmen, and they were struggling together, Abraham, as the senior partner, relinquished his privileges and offered Lot the choice of where to go. And we know Lot made a bad choice. He went to a place that resulted in disaster for him, because he lifted up his eyes and he saw what would benefit him, as opposed to Abraham lifting up his eyes looking for what God would show him. Secondly, you may remember that Abraham gave a tithe of his money. Remember that wonderful passage where he meets Melchizedek, the king of Salem, whose name means king of righteousness and king of peace, an enigmatic figure who doesn't have any genealogy recorded. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. And that was perhaps a habit he was already in. Who knows by what guidance the idea of giving a tenth came to Abraham. And there is a consistent theme in the Bible of giving for God's work a proportion of what we receive. And I can certainly testify, even when I was a student, I put aside a tenth of all my grant and gave it for God's work, and still do now. And I do believe that's no longer a legal requirement for Christians, by the way. But I believe it's a principle that God enormously honours, that those who give to him proportionately from the heart receive all kinds of blessing, provided they're not doing it for the purpose of receiving blessing. On the other hand, God has so made us that whatever we do that's right receives blessing, and therefore we don't get tied up in a guilt trip. He says, give joyfully. Give joyfully and receive the blessing. And the third giving I see of Abraham, You may remember that after Sarah died, he married again. And his new wife produced 6 sons. And goodness knows how many daughters. This is a man over the age of 100. Yeah, how many of us are planning to have further children after the age of 100? But in chapter 25, verse 6, it says, Abraham gave gifts to all his children and sent them away. So what I see there is a certain amount of wisdom in the use of his generosity. He was able to allocate it appropriately, proportionately, and with wisdom, so that there will be no strife. It was clear that Isaac was his heir, his inheritor, but actually he still gave to everyone else in the family appropriately. So there's a verse there that taught me something about the balance between, all sorts of balances. Giving as opposed to not giving, and being a steward as opposed to just accumulating, and using one's money to bless others as well as bless oneself. So there we have it. Abraham, his heart, his mouth, and his hand. I wonder what challenge God is giving us today in any of those. Is he inviting us to trust him in something that, where life is tough, where the future is murky, or where it's really not clear, and we might be tempted to fear the future or the present or fear anything. He invites us to put our trust in him, stay ourselves upon the Lord. Maybe also he's inviting us to stimulate the trust of someone else, remind someone else that God's looking after them, or that God's angels are looking after them, or that God has a plan for them. Perhaps we can ignite or inspire the faith and trust of others. And secondly, our lips. Constantly I'm conscious that what comes out of my lips is not always the best. Sometimes I say bitter things or angry things. But consider, what commitment might God be asking us? What words of commitment to him? Or is God inviting us to wrestle, or indeed to intercede for anyone or anything? Good use of our words and lips. And thirdly, he gave the hand of Abraham. To give without grasping, as with Lot. To give as an act of worship, with the tithe. Or to give as a lifetime of stewardship, as he gave gifts to the sons of his concubines, as they're described. So, food for thought. Let's have a moment of quiet just to allow God's word to sink in and to see what response we'd like to make, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Father, we want to declare that we do choose to trust you, and we bring before you those challenges and difficulties in our life which are burdensome, or where we feel afraid, or where we feel uncertain of what to do. We yield those to you and we say, Father, we trust you to show us the way. We trust you to give us the resources. We trust you to bless us. We rely upon you. We look to you and we look up to you to see what you are providing, to hear what you're saying, and to receive whatever blessing you have for us. And we dedicate to you afresh our lips and our tongues, acknowledging that often we say things which are not honouring to you. But we thank you that you have forgiven us and you offer us cleansing. you offer to cleanse our lips and to use us afresh. And may we speak with seriousness. May we be aware of the impact of our words to bless and to inspire and to convey your truth. And to engage in dialogue with you in whatever way you invite us. And we offer to you our hands as a symbol of the parts of us which give to others. And we ask you to give us a generous heart, that we may be joyful givers, that we may seek to bless others. We thank you that you have given us new hearts, and that your heart is full of kindness and blessing. And we choose to link up with your heart, which is generous and kind, and to convey your blessings to others, to worship you, to be good stewards, and to seize opportunities to give. So we thank you. Thank you for the example of Abraham, so human, and yet willing to learn, willing to grow, willing to travel with you. And we commit ourselves once again to your care, in the name of Jesus. Amen.